Pastor Woods here, and I just wanted to stop and talk to you about a life of expectancy. I'll be using as a springboard Romans chapter 8, and we will read verses as we go through this. You know, it's terrifying to listen to the news, all the talk about inflation and violence and food shortages, the devaluation of the dollar, the great reset that's supposed to be coming, World War III, increased crime, and on and on and on. How are we supposed to make it through these troubled days? Remember, God warned these days would come just before the return of Jesus Christ. We're seeing prophecy being fulfilled every day. I think this is a time where God has said to look up, for our salvation draws near. The signs seem to say it won't be long until Jesus takes his church home in the rapture, and those that are left behind will face literal hell on earth. Please, don't chance being left behind. Don't you think it's time to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior if you have not done so already? These are troubled days with many problems. You need to understand, problems are only going to get worse before they get better, so you need to snuggle up to Jesus Christ and let Him help you today, give you the strength and guidance you need to get through these days. But there is good news. You can handle any problem when you remember three things. Number one, we share in the sufferings of Christ. In Romans chapter 8, 17 and 18, it says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth the comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." You know, we want the easy road, but I'm sorry, that road really doesn't exist. Jesus said, "Take up your cross." Crosses aren't known for ease and pleasure. So you're going to go through a hard place. Maybe you're going through a hard place right now. Wonderful, because this shows that God trusts you and is giving you an opportunity to grow in your spiritual life. I remember when I became diabetic in 1984 that there was a woman in our church. We would meet on Saturday night for prayer meeting, and she was always there. And we would meet around the altar and pray for God's guidance and God's direction on the next day, Sunday. But I remember she did a very strange prayer. She thanked God for my diabetes. I was irritated. What business was that of hers? I asked her, "Why would you thank God for that?" And she said, "Well, now you'll have to take better care of yourself." You know, when I left Deer Valley Church, the Nazarene, and moved to be the pastor of Stevenson Washington Church, the Nazarene, I felt like I'd been demoted. It was a much smaller church, and I was kind of embarrassed, and I complained about it to the lady who owned the Christian bookstore in Hood River, Oregon. Her response was, "What a blessing. Just think what God's going to do with you as you try to help this church to grow." Well, I didn't see it at first, but I found I love Stevenson, Washington, and I thank God for the privilege of pastoring in the beautiful Columbia Gorge for 6 years. And truly, it's like that chorus that says, "God's ways are best ways. I found it so. Where'er he leads me, there I would go, and never question when comes a test, for I know always God's ways are best." You know, the intensity of pressure doesn't matter as much as its location. Is the stress you feel coming between you and God, or does it press you closer to Him? So often we let self and selfishness get in the way of our relationship with God, and it destroys our peace. We think we're, suffering for the Lord if we don't have everything we want, or if there's somebody that has something better than we do. I remember that my dog Shadow and my daughter's dog Brad were often given a treat when we got together. They both had one, but would try to take the other dog's treat as well. They couldn't enjoy what they had because of the stress of protecting their treat from the other dog and the coveting the other dog's treat for themselves. Sometimes we think we're suffering, like I said, because someone else has a better privilege than we do or has something that we don't have. Be careful not to ruin the joy that you have of living for Jesus Christ. Be thankful for the blessings that God has given to you. Most of us don't really know what real suffering is. Unfortunately, Christians are being tolerated less and less in the United States, and the day may come when we will have the privilege of really suffering for our Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing, our present sufferings aren't worth comparing to our future glory. Two words describe where glory will be revealed: in us. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul says, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." Whatever you're going through will seem minor when you finally see Jesus Christ. We can't give up. I remember talking to a man at an estate sale that he was giving, and I said, what's the occasion that you're having this sale? He told me, well, it's because I tried to start a business 34 years ago and never got it off the ground. I'm beaten. I quit. I give up. I'm just going to the beach and wait to die. We groan because it's getting hard. Often we want to quit, just like that man. Well, let me encourage you, hang in there because it's going to get even harder, but God will give us the privilege to glorify his name. There are three groans in this passage, and creation groans in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. There are four truths to remember about creation. One, this world began as a good creation. God said, it is good. But it became a fallen creation when Adam and Eve yielded to the temptation that Satan had put before them in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. It now waits as a groaning creation. We hear people talk about global warming and the pollution and on and on. And the globalists have found their horse to ride to a one-world government control. But I want to say, trust God. One day it'll become a glorious creation once again. Isaiah 11:6-9 says, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, And the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf, and the lion, and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We groan. We've been redeemed and adopted and are waiting for Jesus to take us to our eternal home, which he says he is preparing for us. He said, John 14:1-4, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also, and you know the way to where I'm going. Praise God, we have a place waiting for us where we will be with Jesus Christ for all eternity. Even though our adoption is complete, it won't feel complete until we finally get home. But we wait both eagerly. Romans 8:23, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. We wait patiently. Romans 8:25, but if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Then the Holy Spirit groans. Romans 8:26-27, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Listen, he utters prayers for us because we don't even understand how we should pray sometimes. We all tend to pray the answers to our prayers. We think God can answer only one way. Scripture teaches us that God sometimes answers our prayers by allowing things to get much worse before they get better. God might even do the opposite of what we anticipate. Yet, it's a fundamental principle that we must always be ready for the unexpected when we're dealing with God. Remember, God knows best, and whatever he does for us is for our betterment. The Holy Spirit knows what is best for us even when we think that we do. Then number four, all of these things God works for our good. Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. It says we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Do you love him? If you do, God's working things out in your life, whether you can see it's good or not now. You will see how it turns out. It'll be just perfect what God wants for you. Is there any benefit in having problems? Well, yes. They make you to be more like Jesus, and they make you depend upon Jesus. In verse 30, the words for new, predestined, and called add up to the fact that it's God's plan, not ours, that's most important. Listen to Romans 8:29-30. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Praise God. The boy stood with his back arched, head cocked back, and his hands clenched defiantly. Go ahead, give it to me, he said. The principal looked down on the young rebel. How many times have you been here? The child sneered rebelliously. Apparently not enough. The principal gave the boy a strange look. And you've been punished each time, haven't you? Yeah, I've been punished, if that's what you want to call it. He threw out his small chest. Go ahead, I can take whatever you dish out. I always have. And no thought of your punishment enters your head the next time you decide to break the rules, does it? The principal said, nope. I do whatever I want to do. Ain't nothing you people going to do to stop me either. The principal looked over at the teacher who stood nearby. What did he do this time? Fighting. He shoved Tommy's face into the sandbox. The principal looked at the boy. Why? What did little Tommy do to you? Nothing. I didn't like the way he was looking at me. Just like I don't like the way you're looking at me. And if I thought I could do it, I'd shove your face into something. The teacher stiffened and started to rise, but a quick look from the principal stopped him. He contemplated the child for a moment and then said, today, my young student, is the day you learn about grace. Grace? Isn't that what you old people do before you sit down to eat? I don't need none of your stinking grace. Oh, but you do. The principal studied the young man's face and whispered, oh, yes, you truly do. The boy glared as the principal continued. Grace, in its short definition, is unmerited favor. You can't earn it. It's a gift that is always freely given. It means you won't be getting what you so richly deserve. The boy looked puzzled. What are you going to do? Whoop me? You just going to let me walk? The principal looked down at the unyielding child. Yes, I'm going to let you walk. The boy studied the face of the principal. No punishment at all, even though I socked Tommy and shoved his face into the sandbox? Oh, there has to be punishment, the principal said. What you did was wrong, and there's always consequences to our actions. There will be punishment. Grace is not an excuse for doing wrong. I knew it, sneered the boy as he held out his hands. Let's get on with it. The principal nodded toward the teacher. Bring me the belt. The teacher gave the belt to the principal. He carefully folded it in two and then handed it back to the teacher. He looked at the child and said, I want you to count the blows. He slid out from behind the desk and walked over to stand directly in front of the young man. He gently reached out and folded the child's outstretched, expectant hands together and then turned to face the teacher with his own hands outstretched. One quiet word came forth from his mouth. Begin. The belt whipped down on the outstretched hands of the principal. Crack! The young man jumped 10 feet in the air, shocked. Shock registered across his face. One, he whispered. Crack! Two, his voice raised an octave. Crack! Three, he couldn't believe this. Crack! Four. Big tears welled up in the eyes of the rebel. Okay, stop! That's enough, stop! Crack! Came the belt down on the calloused hands of the principal. Crack! The child flinched, and each blow, tears began to stream down his face. Crack! Crack! No, please, the little rebel begged. Stop! I did it! I'm the one who deserves it! Please, stop! Please, stop! Still the blows came. Crack! Crack! One after another. Finally, it was over. The principal stood there with sweat glistening across his forehead and beads trickling down his face. Slowly, he knelt down. He studied the young man for a second, and then his swollen hands, he reached out to cradle the face of the weeping child. Grace! As we live with life, we can expect problems to come, but nothing should rock your boat, not sickness, not poverty, not persecution, nothing. Remember, God is in charge, and he has provided an eternal home for each of us that we can't earn, but we can accept from him by his grace. Yes, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and all need to be punished. But because of the grace of Jesus Christ, he took our punishment upon himself, and he died in our place. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God and not of works, lest anyone should boast. You know, none of us knows from day to day what to expect is coming our way, but we can live a life of expectancy, knowing that God is there, God will strengthen us and see us through to victory, and Jesus promises, I will never leave you or forsake you. You know, I think today the best thing you could do in this 2022 year, with Russia invading the Ukraine and China getting ready to invade different countries and all the things that are going on, I think today the best thing you could do is to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and accept what he's done, why he took the punishment for you, so that you can be forgiven and one day stand before God. And when God says, "Why should I let you into my holy heaven?" you'll be able to say, "Because I accepted what your son did for me on that cross, and my sins are covered by the blood, and I belong to Jesus Christ." Dear Father, I pray that you help those that are listening today to realize the importance of accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Father, why would any of us want to take the punishment ourselves, which would mean an eternity in hell, when you've already taken the punishment for us? And all we need to do is humbly ask for forgiveness, repent of our sins, and begin to live a life that will please you. I pray, God, for each one that's listening to this podcast, they might know how important it is to accept Jesus as their Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. I would remind you, if you want to get in touch with me, my email address is lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. My mailing address is William Woods, Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. I do have the podcast out, which is lowercase Church of the Galilean, all one word, CHURCHOFTHEGALILEAN. By the way, you can hear all the other sermons I've preached there too. What you do is you go to you poke Church of the Galilean, it'll bring you to a whole selection of these places. But you go to the one that says there's still power in the blood, and that will bring you to my broadcast. And if you really want to get hold of me any other way, you can use my phone number and send a message, and I'll be glad to see and read it and pray for you, whatever your need is. I want to say God bless you, and I want to ask God just to continue to guide and direct you, that you might live for him and be pleasing to him. Thank you. Goodbye.